Welcome to another periodic edition of the Online Dating Insider podcast series. My name is David Evans, the editor of Online Dating Post, and I'm here with Alex Harrington from Meet Moi. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Why don't we kick off today? Why don't you tell everybody about your business and who's on your service and just, you know, get people comfortable with who you are, and then we can ask some questions back and forth.
Sure. I mean, Meet Moi is focused on the mobile dating space, and we have what we believe to be a very different approach to the market. We call what we do a social introduction service, which at Meet Moi is our way of saying we introduce you to the people you might want to date in the physical world around you. We think meeting people in real life is much better than meeting people online, and so it's our mission to make it as easy as possible to meet the people in the physical world around you and turn the missed romantic connections that single people have every day in their world around them into the opportunity to easily create an impromptu date. And so you can only do this through mobile technology, and because it needs to accompany you wherever you go, and it needs to be able to run in the background and to be able to deliver introductions to you through push technology. So it's native to mobile, and you can find Meet Moi live on iPhone and Android and the mobile web. And so it's really turning the traditional interactive dating model on its head, because instead of helping you meet people on the internet, we help you meet people in the real world and try to enhance your social life.
Now, let me ask a quick question about where you're most popular and the type of people that are on your site. And I also read somewhere, maybe it was in the iTunes write-up or whatnot, that you had 25,000 signups in the last week or two. And it sounds like from the verbiage in some of the stuff in iTunes and in the app that it's a younger crowd, I see you call it the campus plan, which makes me, you know, right or wrong, think about the college world. But what do you see with that age group, and where do you have, you know, specific densities? You know, I assume you guys know that some towns or college cities are probably more well represented in your app than others.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have explored a number of different market segments, and I would say that the market segment that I think we've gotten the best reception and where we're getting the most traction are people in their late 20s in major metropolitan areas, late 20s, early 30s. And the reason for that is that they're outside of their traditional sort of college, post-college heyday in terms of the social benefits that offers, that, you know, meeting of new people that, you know, is easy to do through your college network. You know, those leads have gone a little cold by the time you're in your late 20s. And yet they're still going out a lot. They're still very active, and they're spending less time, they're serious daters. They're interested in meeting people, and they're not perhaps interested in chatting on the internet, or less so they're cyber flirting, or, you know, the kind of casual games associated with some kind of online flirting sites. They're really interested in meeting people in real life and having real dates. And so that's really the sweet spot. And, you know, we've had some success in on college campuses, and we had a pilot program at NYU, but it's not our principal focus right now.
Okay. So late 20s, and a pricing structure commensurate to that type of a demographic. What is it, $5 a month for one plan, And then that price goes down a little bit the longer that you sign up, sort of the more traditional subscription-based model.
There are a number of plans. I mean, you know, like many dating products, we are a freemium service. I'd say we offer a significant amount of value in front of the paywall on our apps, in the sense that the introductions that we make, as I mentioned, you know, our model is to try to introduce you to people. The way that works is, you set your preferences, and as you're navigating through your world, we will look for people that meet that criteria within the network, and that, you know, you meet their criteria, and we will match you up and make introductions. And we'll do that when you're nearby. And so we're essentially pushing a one-to-one connection that, you know, has the opportunity to be a live connection of someone nearby, and therefore reducing the friction towards actually driving towards a real date. And that functionality is entirely free. There is a traditional sort of search and browse feature of the product, and to the extent that you want to initiate contact to someone that you have found through your browsing that we have not, you know, made an introduction to, that initiation of contact in the form of a message would hit a paywall there. And the service is $20 a month for that level of service. However, if you sign up for a 3-month plan or a 6-month plan, the monthly cost is discounted very significantly.
Oh, okay. And for people listening, this is all spelled out in the iTunes page for the app. One of the things that I noticed there as well that I thought was interesting was, and don't worry, you'll never be a flashing dot on someone else's map. We never share your location. So it sounds like you've done an end run and avoided a lot of the complications and concern that we've seen. And it's actually been the last couple of years now. It's come to a head, I think, this year in terms of a number of apps that were taking specific Foursquare check-ins and using them as the location the location dot on the map. So you basically avoid all of that, and just people know when there are people nearby, but it's not like so-and-so, here's a picture of her, she's at this bar on the third bar stool from the back, and she's alone and had 4 cocktails. You know, there's right. Some level of TMI, as it were, in a lot of these apps.
I thank you for bringing that up, and I'm glad that concept came across in our language. I mean, we have always been very, very sensitive to the notion of the privacy concerns of users in terms of making introductions to people in the physical world, and concerns about privacy and security. And you know, that's sort of to us what, you know, gravity is to Boeing. It's like, you know, one of the major forces that we're contending against in designing our product and making it useful to people and comfortable for people to use. I think we've done a lot of thinking about it. And there's just absolutely no reason to disclose a user's location to anyone else. We do convey a sense of the only reason why we take your location and why we, you know, ask permission for it is so that we can deliver you matches of people who are around you. And we don't disclose exactly where you are, and we don't disclose exactly where the matches are. It's enough just to say that you are, you know, a quarter mile away from each other. That's or less. And, you know, that's sufficient. That's walkable. And people, for the needs of our product, that's a sufficient level of granularity. And it just doesn't expose people from a security standpoint at all. And, you know, for those, I think there is a perception in the market that, you know, companies in our space are, abusing people's privacy and security. And so that's something that people are very concerned about when they, come to our product, but no, we've never gotten complaints from any users about the way we actually use. For those people that have tried the product, we've never heard anyone say that they felt insecure because I think our solution just doesn't expose people.
Right, which is something that can't be said for a lot of the earlier versions of location-based and social discovery apps, which leads me to a next thought, is you've been around for a while now. You know, you don't seem to be a company that has just, you know, popped up with some financing in the last 6 months to take care of the location-based dating and mobile trend that we're seeing right now. First, you know, talk a little bit about what it's been like watching the market evolve over the past couple of years. And also, to finish up, you know, what do you think about this Facebook friend finder functionality, you know, rough draft form that it's in right now? What, you know, how do you see that potentially affecting your business?
Two great questions. So to answer the first about, you know, how the market's evolved and, you know, having been in the space for a while, you know, we actually got started, you know, back before there was really an app ecosystem, and it's been the evolution of mobile, as you know, has been incredibly dynamic and rapid, and so it's a race to keep up, and it's very resource intensive because there's no single standard. There are multiple platforms that you need to develop for. Messaging and billing, again, there are different approaches, no single standard. So all of those things require, you know, having multiple solutions and a lot of resources. So it's hard. Arguably it's a barrier to entry for success, but it's also hard to keep up with for those people who are in the space and you know, want to be comprehensive. You know, the space has become very crowded, though. There are a lot of players that have popped up. It's very easy to sort of open up shop as a dating company. It's very hard to provide a good product and to sustain something, and to go beyond, you know, simply having an iPhone app and actually provide something on multiple platforms. So I think the, you know, though the space is very crowded, I think, a lot of the companies that are playing in it are fairly perishable. I think it's become very easy to get seed funding, but it's very competitive to get funding in later rounds, and I think we'll see a lot of people drop out. The other question you asked was about Facebook, and I'm actually delighted that Facebook is taking, you know, kind of location people discovery seriously. I think it's an inevitability that social networks, you know, the big guys like Facebook and LinkedIn have to move in that direction. There's just so much innovation going on around it, and they're kind of sitting on the sidelines. Of course, Facebook bought Glancy. You know, they're going to do something soon. I think this was a bit of a false start, in the sense that I don't think they meant it to get the attention that it did. Perhaps they were kind of trying something out. My understanding of what they're trying to do, though, is just simply create another means of searching for people that you might want to create a friend connection to. Instead of searching for Dave or Dave Evans, if I'm near you, Dave, that I would just essentially look, you know, in the sort of the search radius around you, and I would discover you that way, rather than typing in your name. And you know, I think people were uncomfortable with that being sprung upon them, and without kind of a suitable amount of sort of fanfare and hand holding. But I don't think there's anything inherently, you know, evil about that approach, that Facebook took. I think basically, you know, if people on Facebook get friended by strangers all the time. They just ignore those requests, and that's what would happen in the context of, you know, kind of location people discovery. You know, people can't make any overtures to you other than a friend request, and that's already happening. So I don't really see, you know, what the fuss is about, and I think it's inevitable that Facebook is going to roll out some feature like that.
That's an interesting point that you made, and well taken, about, you know, that functionality was basically a hack day hack that got thrown together in, you know, let's just say, you know, over a weekend. And
yeah.
I think in the TechCrunch article that I originally read, the guys who put it together had to jump in and were a bit taken off guard in terms of, wait a second, you know, this is a hack day weekend thing, people. This is an official release. But to that point, I think it's very interesting, and I like to hear. I'm a big fan, and I'm going to misquote Kennedy about a rising tide raises all ships, right? You know, there's lots of competition in your space, which I think is a good thing, because that means more money will come in and more talented people with new ideas, you know, along with these sort of old growth companies like yours. I think it makes a very healthy ecosystem. And I love that phrase perishable as well, too. You know, it's sad but true. I've been working with startups for a long time. And, you know, you never know who's gonna win and who's not and who gets stuck in the middle. But it's certainly, you know, I just wrote recently that it's crazy to start a straight-up social network only on mobile phones right now. And I think some of that got misconstrued. Plus, I was sort of shooting from the hip. But what I really meant was just that, you know, the amount of time and money it takes to start from zero right now without Facebook as a traffic driver in the mobile space and a number of other considerations makes it really hard. I mean, to your point, you're right, that, you know, the software architecture and platforms and the general thinking is in place. But on the web side of it, you know, you look at the Likebrites and the Complete Me's and 5 or 10 other companies like that that I've talked to or either doing some advisory work with. You know, one thing is, what's the core differentiation between you? Because if you're all going after the same people in the same way, you know, and there's no differentiation, you know, that becomes very problematic. It's sort of like I hearken back to when Foursquare was starting. So you had Brightkite and Foursquare. Those were the two check-in players. You know, there were two of them you picked. One was very different from the other, and it became very apparent early on which one was going to quote-unquote win the location data wars. And I think in your space, you know, there's still a lot of overhead room for companies like yourself and a number of others with different focuses to continue to grow. So, you know, I wish you guys the best of luck and definitely keep us up to date on, you know, things that are happening that you're seeing in the space and big wins. And I always love testimonials and stuff like that, because on the mobile side of things, you know, we focus on the web a lot, at least at Online Dating Insider. And now with more and more mobile things happening out there, it's important for companies like yours to reach out and let us know what's going on, because if we don't see the press release or reach out to you, you know, we're making guesstimates and assumptions, and I'd rather hear it straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. So thank you so much for your time today. Any parting shots you'd like to leave us with?
You know, I think your points are you know, very astute. I guess you know, one of the things I think there's a lot of moneyness, as I mentioned, a lot of you know, it's a crowded space. A lot of people claim to do things that they don't really do, and a lot of people they're everybody's sort of claiming that they're going after the same audience, but in point of fact, you know, they're not. You know, one thing I would say just about mobile is I think mobile presents an opportunity for very, very different, a very different way that technology can help people meet each other. And I think that particularly the companies that are natively online companies and are very vested in their traditional online businesses, even though they may have integrated, you know, even though they may have apps and they may have integrated some location capabilities. Like, you know, those approaches to mobile really don't take advantage of the opportunity in mobile. And you know, if you've got some bolt-on feature that is mobile specific, but everybody's using your service, you know, you still have 70% of your users using your service online, or and very few actually taking advantage of the mobile capabilities. You know, even if you have great mobile capabilities, it's still not going to work. So you kind of need to rethink the proposition. I mean, our view is you really need to rethink the proposition from a mobile perspective. And that's one of the reasons why you benefit from being mobile centric or even mobile only, because you're not encumbered with a legacy that is, you know, unfortunately fairly not terribly innovative, and you can just be free to innovate, and that's what we're trying to go after. And I think there are some players in the space that are also very innovative.
That's right. These are exciting times for sure. I mean, with the lack of parity at some level between the different mobile platforms and stuff from Windows coming out as well too, you know, it's interesting from a technology and an API standpoint. One thing I just wanted to throw out real quick was this idea that I hope that Facebook makes an API or an interface to all of these growing social features and discovery tools that they're putting up. Because one thing we've learned in the dating space is, okay, now it's easy to go grab information from Facebook and other social networks as well, too, and services. But actually doing anything with it is really, really complicated. So I can see some people start to do some cloud-based search management and things like that, because so I have all your likes and I know where you are and I know that you your age, but what's the algorithm? Because that's the problem. Once you get really popular, I can't deal with 6,000 women within 2 miles of me. You know, I want the 5 that really make the most sense for me to meet. So hopefully everybody will start to evolve in that direction as well too, and not make it such a needle in the haystack situation.
Right, right. Yeah, well, we always say we're still in sort of version 1.0 of mobile dating, and that, you know, that there's a huge amount of innovation ahead of us, in spite of all the work we've done. And I think, you know, you're touching on it. But it's very exciting. And I think the potential is huge. So, the idea of just having a social utility that makes it easy to meet people around you wherever you go, I think that's an incredibly appealing concept and would make people a lot less inclined to shop online for dates if it were easy to meet the people around them. So I think that's the disruptive opportunity ahead of us, and that's kind of the goal we're chasing.
All right. Been talking with Alexander Harrington from MeetWah. Thank you so much for your time today. And if you'd like your company featured on Online Dating Insider at onlinedatingpost.com, drop us a line in the contact form and let's talk. Alex, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dave. Take care now.